Pink, and we are the champions. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, everyone in between and beyond. This is the Santon Times Hour on Mix 93.8 and also available on all good podcast platforms. I'm Alexander Leibner, and this is a different start to this week's edition, 136, week 44 of 2023. And what a week to be with you again. If you would like to send through your questions, your comments, or your feedback, you can do so emailing editor at santontimes.co.za or visiting the social media accounts at Santon Times or the website www.santontimes.co.za. And if you're listening live on Mix 93.8 right now and not via any other digital audio platform, well, the WhatsApp line is open on 084-822-0938, 084-822-0938. Be good to hear from you. Be good to get your reactions on this week's show and of this weekend. And a very special welcome to everyone listening in Johannesburg and Pretoria across South Africa or wherever you are as a South African in the world, online or on air. I'm happy to report that all is very well in Santon land. And I'm joined once again by my man behind the mixing desk, Vincenzo. And Vincenzo, what a weekend it has been. The Prosecco was definitely flowing. I am sure of that. Well, celebrations all around. And I know it's Halloween tomorrow, but who honestly cares, right? Halloween's taking a massive backseat. I don't even know why we actually celebrate this. It feels like a bit of a misappropriated this culture from somewhere else. But we've got other things to celebrate right now. South Africa's Springboks are world champions for a record fourth time, defending their title back-to-back and winning once again by 1 point. And they are a team who have never lost a Rugby World Cup final ever. So there are just so many records that they've broken. Siya Kolisi and Rassie Erasmus at the helm there, bringing it home a second time. How fantastic is it? And it feels great to be a winning nation. And I really do hope that this win inspires us and is a catalyst for us to regroup, review, and rewrite our future so we can celebrate victories like this for our economy, for our businesses, for our governance, our social issues, and so much more. It can be done. We can work together and we can overcome. A quick look at the week that was, apart from the Rugby World Cup, which included a luncheon with Spear, which introduced some of their delicious new wines for the summer. Then Johnny Walker Blue Label, they hosted a very exclusive dinner to announce the release of their elusive Umami edition. Now, if you're big into food, you know, Umami is that sort of fifth elusive flavor profile or favorite taste. But they brought out a new bottle of whiskey. Then Cocoon, a new nighttime venue in Santon, opens its doors as well. And then, of course, we also had Winex, which was packed at the Santon Convention Center. And also they had an array of wines, bubbly and delicatessen. And I'm sure a lot of people enjoyed that. And if you went to Winex, drop me a line and we'd love to hear what you thought. Coming up on this week's show, if you're heading down to Cape Town this December, a new hotel on a wine estate opened its doors this month. And I catch up with the general manager to find out a little bit more. Then October is Transport Month in South Africa. And I'll be chatting to one of those many options we have in our city to get from A to B. They organized an amazing public transport race, and I'm going to ask you to stay tuned for more on that. And finally, I'm going to be sharing the details on my experience using the public transport for a day. It's the good, the bad, and the room for improvement, I'd like to call it. This and more is coming up shortly, but it's time to get the hour going. And Vincenzo, I believe you've got something a little special for us. So let's take a listen. You're tuned in to the Santon Times Hour on Mix 93.8.
Show some love.
Subscribe. Share.
Leave a review and rating for the Santon Times Hour
on your favorite podcast app now.
What you are about to hear is the sound of me drowning. My name is Matthew. On 7th January 2023, a rip current swept me out to sea. NSRI's beach safety camera operators spotted me. They radioed local lifeguards and saved my life.
Drowning is swift and silent. Please, always watch your loved ones around water and help us keep saving lives like Matthew's at nsri.org.za/donate.
The latest news,
The biggest names.
The best destinations.
The hottest entertainment. This is the Santon Times Hour.
This is the Santon Times Hour on Mix 93.8 and available on all good podcast platforms. Right Said Fred, stand up for the champions. The Springbok 2023 World Cup edition with some highlights from the Rugby World Cup there. I think that was a very nice edit that we put together. And it's unthinkable, but let's take a look at what else could have possibly made headlines this week. Well, Johannesburg Pride marched for its 34th year in support of the LGBTQIA plus rights and community in South Africa. And who can forget the drama around Sandton last year with terror threats and all kinds of things? This year was eventful in a different way, with 20,000 people marching through Greater Sandton on the weekend to celebrate Pride and making their support clear for the LGBTQIA plus communities across Africa. Then the world champion Springboks are due to arrive back in South Africa from France this week. Well, on Tuesday, 31 October at OR Tambo International Airport shortly before midday. And I'm sure there'll be plenty of announcements in the build-up to that and advisories as to how you can be part of it. And I suppose like in 2019, I'm sure there's going to be some sort of tour or bus or parade or something that you can be part of. So stick with the Sandton Times. Go have a look on the website. I'm sure we'll be putting up all the information there as well if you want to catch the Springboks and celebrate this historic victory. Then, which are the most affluent and most visited malls in South Africa? Well, a good proportion are in Gauteng, according to a Business Tech article this week. Overall, Mall of Africa in Midrand is the busiest mall in the country when it comes to visits and mall durations. That's right across the road here from Mix 93.8. Mall goers also spend the most time at the Mall of Africa and Sandton City. However, the income distribution of visitors at malls differs significantly. So according to this report, Sandton City and Fourways bring in the largest amount of affluent shoppers, followed by Cresta and Clearwater. And then also, if you're into a bit of wine tasting, we've got a couple of tickets up for grabs on the Sandton Times website. So go have a check out there if you are into wines. Let's leave the headlines there for this week. After the break, I'm joined by the Estate General Manager of Hazendal Wine Estate, Carly de Jong, as the Hazendal Hotel and Spa opened its doors this month. Keep listening.
You're listening to the Sandton Times Hour. Connect with the Sandton Times. Email editor at santontimes.co.za.
So a couple of months back during lockdown, I find myself in Cape Town and I ended up doing a bit of Googling and found this interesting deli in a place called Hazendal, which I'd never heard of before. And it looked really inviting and it looked very intriguing. So I decided, okay, let me get in my car and let me take a drive to Stellenbosch to go eat at this interesting deli. And what I found was the most remarkable little space. It's this wine estate, but it's got like just so many things happening. There's this beautiful deli, which I think is called the Babushka Deli, and it's got these beautiful patisserie and treats, and it was a fantastic little breakfast I had. And then I took a walk around, and they had this this amazing dining room that's sort of downstairs in a cellar, and there's a conference room, and there's another dining room and another space, and then there's sort of almost like a beer garden type place. And I thought, wow, how incredible is this place? And then they had the most remarkable car collection in a glass box, sort of vintage classic cars, you know, your Rolls Royces and Bentleys and all these things. I thought, what an incredible place that I've never heard of. And I thought, well, you know what? All this place needs is a hotel and a spa. And then it's like ready to rock and roll. And then a few days ago, I find out that they have built a hotel and spa. But here to chat to me about this is a lady called Carly de Jong. She is the Estate General Manager of Hazendal Wine Estate and also overseeing the Hazendal Hotel and Spa in Stellenbosch. And Carly, it's good to have you on the Sandton Times Hour.
Thanks for having me, Alex.
Carly, tell me a little bit more about the hotel now that we now have on the Hazendal Wine Estate.
I really enjoyed the way that you described it, that you thought to yourself, well, you know, we really need a hotel on this estate. And that's exactly what the owners thought to themselves as well. And the hotel really just recently opened on the 1st of October. And it's a culmination of about 8 years of expansion. The current owners took a look at the farm and looked at the opportunities available in the Bottleray area, and decided that they wanted to create a destination, and something a little bit different. So the hotel was built. It was through COVID. Project started just before COVID, development and planning. And it really is the finalizing of all the plans and visions. And it's an amazing addition to the farm.
No, absolutely. I think it's a great idea because it is such a beautifully packaged wine farm. And I feel so often in South Africa, we either have wine farms that go all out and they do it unbelievably well. And it really becomes an attraction. You have picnics on the lawns. And I mean, it's everything you can imagine. Something for the kids, something for the adults. Or you go to a wine farm and all they do is we do a wine tasting. And that's it. There's nothing more than that. And it's a big disappointment and just sort of a blip on the radar. And you've kind of gone this very boutique and very well packaged experience because there's so much you can do, so much you can see. And the fact that you've now got this hotel means that people can kind of now extend that experience beyond just popping in for a day and having a glass of wine.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's also the perfect location for if you wanted to base yourself outside of the city and to use us as the jump spot into all the areas, Franschhoek, etc., instead of making, you know, the trip back to Cape Town or the waterfront. We really do have a lot going on. Some of the other things that you've also haven't perhaps mentioned is Marvel Gallery, where we support up-and-coming South African artists. So we have a gallery on the estate as well. And a really unique introduction into the hotel is all the original work that you will find in and around the hotel and in the bedrooms. So it is all original art, and we have the plan to interchange it as well now and in the future. And we will start some art and guided tours of the art in and around the hotel. So there's still so much to see and do on the farm.
And I think that's such an interesting point that you make, because I know as well, I fell into the trap for many years that I always felt like I need to be based out of Cape Town, sort of at the foot of Table Mountain to experience the Cape. But I think doing a stay in the Winelands, which almost feels like a little bit removed from where everything it is actually a great idea because, you know, if you're in Stellenbosch, Paarl, Franschhoek, I mean, it's all sort of 15, 20 minutes by car, and you actually have a totally different Western Cape experience to being based out of the city bowl or the city center. But Carly, tell me a little bit more about the hotel. What makes the hotel different? What have you done with it? Tell us a little bit more about the spa as well.
The hotel is really luxurious. It's a boutique, as you've mentioned. The finishes are of an exceptional quality. The things that stand out in this particular hotel is the space. The rooms are exceptionally spacious. All the layering and the furnishings have really been done tastefully. The owners and the designers have really looked at it and brought through the South African and African elements with a really unique and modern design element. We have a beautiful courtyard, a massive heated pool. So in the hot Winelands summertime, it will be a perfect place to unwind after all your day trips and going out and exploring. So the hotel is built around a central courtyard. We have front-facing rooms, which are your more luxurious rooms, the suites and the presidential, and that overlooks our own private dam. And then into the distance, you've got the Botleray Hills and the Simonsig mountain range. So we've got some beautiful views as well. What makes this hotel unique is that we are also backed onto the 18th hole of our own 3-par 18-hole golf course. So the hotel and bar is the perfect place as well to finish a round of golf, and has become very popular with our local golfers and our local community. So we have a beautiful bar, really, really well appointed. The restaurant is also very high end, beautiful finishes as well in there. And it just really lends itself to a relaxing, sophisticated stay. But with everything else that we have on the estate, we are very family focused. We're very family friendly. So for any parents that are wanting to come and spend a couple of days out here, there is so much to do for the kids. And then, of course, there's so much to do for the parents. And that leads me to the spa as well. So our spa, which is also situated inside the hotel, is built inside one of the original heritage buildings. Really amazing history with regards to that. that we've also retained some of the original stone walls, which are really beautiful as you go through the spa. We have a hammam or rasool, which is one of the unique features there, and we're doing a lot of our treatments inside there, which is a room where, you know, on wet beds, it's a couples treatment room with the steam and the lights. It's really, really magnificent. We've also got outdoor treatment pods as well. So again, once again, in the summer, in the Wineland summer, we've got that opportunity for you to have treatments outside. And it just really is a relaxing, calm space. And it is really one of the jewels in the hotel, I have to say.
Well, it sounds absolutely decadent. And if you're heading down to Cape Town this December, or hot tip, go in January or February when it's not as packed as it is in December. You know, make that holiday stretch out a little bit longer, because, you know, who goes anywhere in January? I mean, like, this is the best time to travel. Go check out Haasendaal Wine Estate. And as I say, they've now got this fantastic hotel and spa, which, as I said, sounds really, really beautiful. Down in Stellenbosch, Carly de Jong, the general manager for the estate. It's been great to have you on the Sandton Times Hour. We're going to take a quick musical break and more of the show right after this.
For more, the Sandton Times Hour continues.
You're listening to the Sandton Times Hour on Mix 93.8. You asked for it last week on the WhatsApp lines. I said I would keep it for this week. It's Mandoza with Ngalagata as South Africa celebrates a historic South Africa win at the Rugby World Cup. My name is Alexander Leibner, and you know how this works if you tune in regularly. If there's anything that sounded good during the show but you didn't manage to get all the details, be sure to visit the show notes on the website sandtontimes.co.za for a detailed breakdown of everything discussed on this week's edition. And also be sure to check out the social media accounts at Sandton Times. And feel free to engage. You can send through a tweet, a WhatsApp, a DM, whatever works for you. Get in touch and drop us a line. So this past week, I got an invite from the Gautrain Management Agency. And they said, listen, we're looking for you to participate in an amazing public transport race, which many might say, well, that's what I do every single day, Monday to Friday. I do an amazing race to try and get to work and to get home again. But no, this wasn't actually an organized race to actually put a lot of the different options that we have for public transport in Greater Sandton to the test, including the Gautrain. Then they've got minibuses, they've got minibus taxis, there's Gautrain buses, there's Bus Rapid Transit, also known as Rio Via. And there we were, having to put all of these things to the test, and very much like some television shows that you know, where you kind of have to race around and get clues and kind of figure out where you need to go. You sort of spend 5 hours running around Greater Sandton, having to piece this together, and obviously the winning team walked away with a grand prize, apart from the fact that you just had a lot of fun doing this. But here to chat to me about this and so much more is Albi Modise. He's the Senior Executive Manager for Communications and Marketing at the GMA. And Albi, congratulations on a very interesting and a very exciting race.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Alex, and thanks for the opportunity.
Well, Albi, tell me a little bit more. What's the inspiration behind staging these sort of events? I know that you've also done one where you've kind of seen, is it faster to get from A to B on the Gautrain versus a car or a tuk-tuk or whatever else? But what is sort of the ethos behind all of this?
The Gautrain, as you're aware, is it's a mobility solution for the people of Gauteng. And I'm using the word solution advisedly there because the idea is to help solve the mobility challenges that Gautengers face every day. We're one of the smallest provinces in the country, but with a growing population. With a growing population, you are inevitably going to have to deal with congestions on the roads. And the founding fathers of this particular mobility called Gautrain were clear that for Gautengers to move from point A to point B in the increasing population that is that we are seeing now, even the latest statistics from Stats SA have gone on to prove, we need to find a solution that takes people seamlessly from point A to point B. And that's why Gautrain has initiated this particular race, whose objective as part of the Transport Month celebration is to remind Gautengers of the different mobility choices they have, but also the integral part of Gautrain as part of the solution to their challenges.
Now, one of the arguments that you have from a lot of people is they say, well, if it was easier, I would do it, or if I knew where to go, I would do it. And let's be honest, a lot of these modes of transport are in your control and some of them are not. I mean, some of these are other parties that you have to integrate with. And how easy is it for you to integrate with a lot of these third party options?
So, and the brain behind the race is to indicate and to remind Gautengers that through this amazing public transport race, the different modes of transport, there's buses, there's taxis. And as part of the competition last week, we were clear that you can use any other form mode of transport. You can use Rea Vaya service. You can use any other Harambee or Arieng. You can use any other Prasa or tuk-tuk services. But the race participants were not allowed to use any e-hailing service. And the idea there is that we want to show the integratedness of the system, because much as we are not responsible for the other segment of your journey, but it's important that at all times the system is seen as integrated. Small wonder we have to date been working with a number of organizations. We integral to this is to ensure the seamless journey, and we have over the past few years partnered with your Alexandra Taxi Association and the Alexandra Randburg Midrand and Sandton Taxi Association to operate the MIDI bus feeder system at the Gautrain Marlborough station. And that is part of our efforts to ensure that the Gautrain is part of the integrated transport system. And that's where the integratedness element comes in. But you're right, we're not responsible for the other part, but we take pride in the full knowledge that we work in collaboration with different taxi association, bus operators, and all the other public service transport systems.
Now, one thing I have to give the Gautrain, and I always comment on this, is the fact that you've been around for quite some time now. I mean, you've been around since 2010. Yeah. And yet the trains and the stations and everything are still in very good condition compared to a lot of other transport platforms where, you know, people are allowed to drink, people are allowed to eat, smoke, do all kinds of other things. And those things start adding a wear and tear to that mode of transport, especially if you've got thousands, if not millions of people using it every single year. Are you finding that you're using a lot of those best practices and sharing those with the likes of Prasa, with the likes of the Taxi Association to say that, you know, we've had such good results from what we do, we think you should also maybe start looking at these kind of things to give longevity and comfort and quality to your passengers?
So, Alex, when the system was conceived, the idea was to transport people. There's a lot of traffic moving from Pretoria to Johannesburg and some going as far as Joburg Central. And our system allows you to take a train from Pretoria Central or Pretoria in Hatfield or from Centurion or from Midrand. You can head all the way to Joburg Park Station. But there were certain arrangements and agreements that we had that to keep the system in mint condition, we need to have clear rules that are going to regulate how people use our system. And that was primarily because we are mindful of the fact that the system, for it to effectively meet the demands of all South Africans, it needs to be in mint condition. And you're right. I mean, after so many years of operating the system, we still have a system that operates seamlessly. We have train service that over the last financial year have been available for 99.6% of the time in terms of punctuality. And we have also seen an increase in terms of our ability to account even for the money we're given. Let me just remind you that we have been operating for 13 years, and we continue to demonstrate government's commitment to the provision of safe and reliable public transport for Gautengers. But also, this year, we recorded our 11th consecutive clean audit, which means the money that's given to Gautrain for the work that it does in terms of public service, we're able to account for it. But also, we do have best practices that we share with other operators within the public sector system. We work closely with Prasa because it's an integrated transport system. We work closely with Transnet and other people, and we share those best practices. But I need to say that also what makes our system to be optimal, it's the public-private partnership model that it was structured in. The current system that's operating, it's run by Bombela, and we are looking at this coming to an end in 2026. Come 2026, we will be appointing a new operator who we believe will take the system to new dizzy heights. Alex, let me also remind the listeners that it's important to note that where Gautrain system is, there's always developments around it. Just look at the Gautrain Sandton, for an example. A lot of the houses and the accommodation around that system there, when people, when retailers or rather the property developers build, one of the key elements they add when they get where they want to get tenants is that it's closer to a Gautrain station. Now, that on its own, it's something you can't quantify in rents and cents in terms of its ability to attract developments around it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, I think there's still so much more to happen. I know there's been talks about expanding the network. Will that mean that the Amazing Race in years to come will take us to different parts of Gauteng, or is that still some time away?
No, that's the whole idea. The idea is to, when the month of October arrives, just like we did last week, invite all the key participants from all parts of the province. Key stakeholders like PRASA, key stakeholders like Rail Safety Regulator, the municipalities of Johannesburg, Tshwane, and Ekurhuleni, those key municipalities, bring on board, like we did last week, participants and also organizations like Gauteng Tourism Authority. So I have all of these different clusters and stakeholders coming on board and participating in the race as part of our efforts to remind all the key stakeholders of the centrality of public transport system, just like we did last week.
Well, there you have it. Albi Modise, Senior Executive Manager for Communications and Marketing at the Gautrain, chatting to us about the amazing race that we got a chance to experience and actually get to try out public transport, because so many of us also have our own cars or have some sort of other mode of transport, never really get to use public transport. And maybe I speak for myself. You get to use it when you maybe go to the airport, or maybe you have a meeting that's conveniently located close to a Gautrain station. But otherwise, never really get to really get the full thrill of it. But great to get an update there on the Gautrain. And we're going to take a quick break and more of the Sandton Times Hour right after a bit of music.
Now's the time to invest in you. Get ready to shine with Virgin Active this summer. Start with a free bag plus the rest of October on us. Level up and get the freedom to gym at any club with a premier membership and score 25% off fees. Or get the family moving and bag 40% off monthly fees. Call 0860 Get Fit or visit your nearest club to get started. You've got this, and we've got you. Virginactive.co.za. T's and C's apply.
Online.
On air.
Anywhere. Anytime.
This is the Sandton Times Hour.
This is the Sandton Times Hour on Mix 93.8 and available on all good podcast platforms. And that was The Script with Hall of Fame featuring will.i.am. And as we wrap up, an hour of music celebrating the remarkable Springboks, who have shown us all that we can and we will be a first amongst nations. We just have to make that decision. So before the break, I was in conversation with Albi Modise, Senior Executive Manager of Communications and Marketing at the Gautrain Management Agency, chatting about this amazing public transport race. And as we almost wrap up the show, I thought I would share some of my experiences using public transport for the day. And some might have caught a quick highlights reel on Instagram if you follow the Sandton Times on the platform. So you got a good idea as to what we got up to. But first off, let me congratulate Natasha, who was following us on the Sandton Times Instagram account. And I put out a note to say, listen, I'm looking for someone to do this race with me. If you're keen, send through a DM. Got some fantastic responses. Natasha was the one who clinched the spot. First comes, first serve. And she chose to join me for this race around Johannesburg, which was, quite an experience. And we were pretty exhausted at the end of a Friday evening. But I thought, let me give you a quick insight into how this race went and kind of what it involved. So we left the Sandton Gautrain station on early Friday morning, and we were given clues. Some of them were maths clues, some of them were history clues, some of them were sort of like, you know, some real brain twisters as to figuring out where or what we had to do. From the Sandton Gautrain station, we had to get to Irene, and not just anywhere in Irene. It was sort of a little bit far out in terms of Irene, but it was sort of one of those tree abseiling, foofy slide kind of places where you have to like lock yourself in and sort of climb from tree to tree and then sort of find your way down the tree and onto a grass lawn. You kind of know what I'm talking about. But so we had to take the train. That was the most obvious choice to make to get to Centurion. And to start with, I must say the Gautrain train system worked exceptionally well. And I mean, I must be honest, I've never really had any problems with it. It works on time. It gets you to all the major stations, and I think that sort of served us very, very well. I think where things that end up getting a bit tricky was once we got to Centurion, now, because you weren't allowed to use any e-hailing services, you were now left with using either minibus taxis, other types of public transport. There is also the MIDI buses that the Gautrain runs, and also the bigger buses that the Gautrain runs. And the first thing I did was, because this was a venue that wasn't necessarily sort of on any major routes, let's go speak to this lady at a minibus counter and say to her, listen, we're trying to get to this area. We're trying to get to this venue. How do we get there? Which bus do we take? And she couldn't tell us. So then we were left with running outside and kind of going from bus driver to bus driver, saying what's sort of the closest station to this space? And also, once again, very few people could actually tell us which bus to take. So eventually we had to kind of decide on a bus. And here came one of the first interesting observations as well, was that I'd actually called the venue to find out what is the best way of getting to the venue using public transport. And what I've discovered with this venue and other venues was that most venues are completely retired on the fact that everyone has a car and everyone can get there with a car. No one's actually thought of gearing themselves towards offering instructions or directions using public transport. Where if you've traveled overseas and you know if you visited any major location, there's generally a space on the website that tells you, look, you know, if you want to get here with a train, if you want to get here with a bus, if you want to get here with a taxi, etc., etc., they give you an entire list of options. I found on this particular race, my experience was that the venues had never even thought about people coming via public transport. So that's something worth bearing in mind. Anyway, through a long process and a lot of sort of guesswork, we eventually made our way to this venue. We got through the exercise. And it once again also occurred to me as well that the entire systems in terms of public transport in Gauteng were also lacking simplicity. Once again, if you go to places like South Korea, the Czech Republic, you know, you've got systems that are often the signage is not even in a language that you speak. It's not even in English. Or even the symbols, like, you know, the lettering is not even in any sort of English lettering. And yet it is still quite straightforward to figure out where you need to go based on colors, based on sort of a very logical breakdown of how the system works. And even if you don't speak the language, you can kind of figure out how to get from A to B and how to integrate across the different options. And I felt like that was that we were struggling with, considering it was our own backyard and we actually spoke English. Anyway, from this this outdoor tree climbing place, we then had to get to Greenstone, which, you know, is a significant distance to go. So from there, we were lucky because there was a minibus taxi that had just dropped off some people. So we kind of commandeered this minibus taxi. And then we had to negotiate with the driver and say, listen, you know, there's 10 of us or there's 12 of us. What will the rate be to get to Greenstone? Because we'd been given sort of some money to get around. And we then came up with a plan. And he then said, cool, he agreed to it. He took us to Greenstone. We got to Greenstone. We then did, there's like a total ninja facility in Greenstone, or Stone Ridge, I think it is. Where you kind of almost do like this sort of obstacle course. I know we were talking about MTN Gladiators, Vincenzo, a couple of weeks ago. It was a little bit like that. You know, we have to climb, swing, jump, all kinds of things. I mean, it's. I think if you're like, you know, 15, it's great. If you're 40, it might be a little bit of a stretch. But, you know, there's some fit people out there. But we got through it. And then it was a question of getting from there to Randburg. So from Greenstone to Randburg is quite a distance. So once again, we found another minibus taxi, and I suddenly had a very good understanding of how the minibus taxi business works, and I understand why they do what they do and why they've been so difficult to replace, because there's an unbelievable flexibility. You can pick one up anywhere, anytime. The pricing is fairly reasonable, and there's a certain level of flexibility, which was much harder with sort of a more structured system, because you didn't know where the bus stop was when you got to the bus stop. There was no proper signage or no proper indication as to where to go, what the times were, or when the bus arrives or when it leaves, apart from the fact that, you know, some of the bus stops don't even have like a bus shelter, so you're literally just standing in the sun for 20, 30, 40 minutes. There were no dustbins, so if you were standing there with any sort of litter, you couldn't throw it away. You'd sort of carry it all with you. And one of these bus stops that we got to, we had to wait, I think, for about 40 minutes. Also, once again, relying on the information that was given to us by other passengers who were sitting there, hoping that we would figure out a way to get with that bus to a sort of a central depot, and then from that central depot, take another bus to get to Randburg, which you can already see is a very time-consuming exercise. When the bus eventually arrived, we said to the bus driver, well, look, we need to buy a ticket. And he said, yes, you can buy a ticket, but you can only buy it at the depot. And I said, well, we are not from the depot, so we can't buy a ticket. Can't you just take us to the depot? We'll buy the ticket and you can just stamp it off there. No, he can't. But now what do we do? Because he's not selling tickets. the depot is selling the tickets, but we can't get to the depot unless we have a ticket. But we need to be at the depot to buy that ticket. So this is where it got really bizarre. And I thought, well, how else are we going to get from Modderfontein to wherever we need to go if we don't have a ticket? And this is suddenly where you're now, your arm's almost forced to now understand where Uber and all these other businesses fit in. Because they found this gap in the market that is, you know, that is not quite integrated. And you've got the flexibility, but once again, it costs money. So if you're not economically strong, it's very difficult to participate in the economy because you either have to have a lot of money or a lot of time to get from A to B. And I suddenly started understanding a lot of things about why people are late for work, why it takes people so long to get to work and from work, because you have to wake up at like 2 o'clock in the morning to be able to go through this entire labyrinth. So very interesting experience, I must tell you, on Friday for someone who actually sort of drives a car regularly and doesn't always use all these systems on a daily basis. But once again, there was a South African entrepreneur on this minibus. And he said, listen, I've got some extra tickets, which are like, I think like 12 Rand to this depot. And he said, look, I'll sell them to you for 200 Rand a piece. And I thought, well, listen, good on you for seeing the opportunity, but we're not going to be paying 200 Rand to get to Randburg. So we eventually had to figure out our own way how to get to Randburg. And let me tell you, it was very elaborate. Eventually got to Randburg, went through another exercise, another activity that we had to do. And then once again, we were stuck in Randburg having to get to Constitution Hill after this, which is also once again quite a distance. Walked to the closest street corner, having to figure out, is there a bus system? Is there a minibus system? Is there any kind of system that we can tap into? And everyone at this bus shelter that we were standing at was a little bit clueless as to, you know, how do we move on from here? And out of nowhere, a man appeared with a t-shirt and a cap, and he said, listen, what do you need? And we said, look, we need a minibus taxi. There's about, you know, 10 or 15 of us. We need to get to Constitution Hill. He said, not a problem at all. He pulled out his cell phone, made a quick call, and he said, listen, give me 5 minutes. We'll make a plan. 5 minutes later, a minibus taxi pulls out of nowhere, completely empty. We made a price. I think it cost us about 270 Rand or whatever. And we were on our way directly from where we needed to go to where we needed to be without any hassles. And I was just, once again, just amazed at how the minibus taxi industry has just absolutely filled that gap in terms of finding a solution to getting people from A to B. And let me say, at a very reasonable price. Constitution Hill, once again, from there, it was a matter of getting to Sandton Station, Gautrain Station. But the best way to do it was obviously to get to Park Station because that was the closest one to Constitution Hill. And now I decided, well, let's use the Rea Vaya bus. Got to the Rea Vaya bus station, and firstly, there was nobody sitting there. And eventually, I found the lady who actually looked after that particular bus station. She wasn't in any uniform. I don't know if it was sort of because it was Friday, but she said, look, I can sell you a ticket. It's going to cost you 70 Rand for two people, but I don't have any change. And I thought, how strange to run a business like this but not have any change. So anyway, she took our money. She ended up walking around to all the different street vendors trying to find some change. She found some change eventually. Brought us the tickets and we got onto the Rea via bus. It wasn't a very long drive. But it was just really amazing how I found it so complex and so it wasn't seamless to navigate the public transport system. And a lot of people said to me, well, look, you know, once you figured it out, it's quite easy. But I thought, what if I'm a tourist? Or what if I don't speak the language? Or what if, you know, I'm just not inclined to work out these things? Or what if you change jobs and now you have to spend like a week or a month having to figure out what's the best route and maybe one of those pieces falls apart? And I thought, how useful would it be if the people who have to implement these things from a governance perspective, so what if those in the city who have to piece these public transport elements together were obliged and forced to use public transport on a daily basis? Wouldn't that improve the system dramatically? But one thing that I did pick up and I did find with all of this were a couple of inevitable South African things. And the one was obviously the entrepreneurial spirit that we came across. The other one was that everyone's prepared to help you in one way or another, even if they're not quite sure what the answer is. I found that as South Africans, we are always up to making a plan. So even though the idea was to kind of try and figure this all out as seamlessly as possible, we had to come up with a plan. We had to make a plan. And the other great thing is that as South Africans, I think we're always up for re-engineering the rules. Because the rules in many instances were that we weren't able to use e-hailing or we weren't able to use sort of any other sort of forms of transport. But in some instances, we didn't really actually have another choice unless we wanted to be there for 2 days or we had some sort of long trip around Johannesburg. There were instances where we had to make a plan. And I thought that was just quite funny and quite heartwarming how, as South Africans, we just tend to be that way. But a very interesting experience, a very good initiative. And once again, it's not a lack of public transport. It is a question of how much of it can you use and how much of it integrates properly to a point where, for example, in a place like Vienna, you can literally go from one side of the city to the other side of the city in 20 minutes without having to do too much or think too much or actually have to speak the language. Well, that's it for the Sandton Times Hour this week on Mix 93.8 and is always available as a podcast on Apple, Google and Spotify. If you want to get in touch, you can email editor@sandtontimes.co.za or connect on social media @SandtonTimes and also visit the website www.sandtontimes.co.za. Feel free to send through your questions, your thoughts, your comments, your feedback. All of those are welcome. And thank you to all my guests who made the time to be on the show this week. And Vincenzo, thank you once again for putting that together in the beginning of the hour. And as always, enjoy recovering from what has been a very eventful weekend. Thank you to the Sandton Times team as well as everyone at Mix 93.8. And thank you for listening. And let's connect again next week.
That's it for this week. Thanks for listening to the Sandton Times Hour. And if you enjoyed it, be sure to share it.